of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Mary Poppincorn. Practically perfect in every way.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, including Thanksgiving, we'll get this an annual pass of this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts from. Simply search for Obscure Disney Podcast or go to obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Hey, saludos, amigos.
Saludos, amigos.
That's all the Portuguese I know.
So do you know what we thought would sound like a good topic to go into this Thanksgiving week? World War II.
Nothing says family events like World War II.
Oh, seriously, true, right?
Have you ever had a fight at a Thanksgiving dinner table or anything?
No, not really.
Most people are civil enough to keep it.
Oh, our family is definitely civil enough for that. We know to talk about each other after, like in the next rooms. This is why it's important to have defined spaces instead of open concepts. So you're
That's
able
what
to
the
talk.
Kids' table's for.
Right. This is so you can talk badly about people.
That's the first time
rooms.
I met your sister was Thanksgiving, and she slow ran to me because she was so intoxicated.
Oh, that sounds
she
like
She ran
my
like
sister.
She was on Baywatch, remember?
Oh, does sound like my sister. Absolutely.
But that's not what we're actually talking about.
No, we're actually thinking we're going through the movies in chronological order that has been released, and we thought we might put two or three movies together on some of these smaller ones that people hadn't heard about.
Right.
So we're going to do our best to do so on this one.
Yeah. We have Saludos Amigos.
Right.
Which is Portuguese for hello friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then we have Victory Through Air Power.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, the Saludos Amigos.
Saludos Amigos.
So this is kind of an interesting show. It was in 1941, before the U.S. entered into World War II, the United States Department States commissioned Disney to be a goodwill ambassador to South America and intended to lead a movie to be shown in the U.S., Central, and South Americas as part of goodwill policy. If that makes any sense at all.
Well, from what I understood, and I am not a history student, but America, we had not been very amiable towards South America.
Yeah.
Up to this point. From what I read, we were very much down there doing things that they didn't appreciate.
Oh, right. There was like the Banana Wars before that,
the
right?
The Banana Wars, as it's called.
So that was going on before we even, happened.
Yeah.
And then now we're kind of getting close to World War II.
Well, we're seeing the world collapse into war, and we're like, we really need all of the Americas to kind of be united. So let's try to reach out to the South American countries and try to unite North and South America, I think is the idea.
Yeah, and it says that a lot of Latin America they had close ties with Nazi Germany. But they also, people in those areas really like Mickey Mouse and the Disney characters.
Right. Because who doesn't?
Right. Especially Donald Duck.
Right.
Like, he's absolutely adorable. So yeah, they basically use Walt Disney to act as an ambassador to kind of include them more, especially if we've been at war with them, apparently. So yeah, that begot these new couple of movies here.
And they call them kind of like clip shows, where they just take like Disney shorts and kind of mush them all together into a film. So there's no overarching story. It's more just like little vignettes.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
And then the idea, I think, it's very interesting. I think the idea really was to show that America appreciates South American culture and then to educate North America on South American culture, right?
Yeah.
Because they are exclusively kind of about South American culture, which I don't know why you would show that in South America other than to show, oh, look, Americans like
South America. An outreach program and kind of uniting of the two. And obviously, it was obviously a time before Google, before the internet.
Yeah.
You know, encyclopedias were hard to come by. And
you had to get them in installments. Right? You only get A through D first.
Right, and in South America, that's clear S. Right. The end of the alphabet. Like,
who makes it that long with your Encyclopedia Britannica?
But Disney, the Disney company was already struggling with the war going on. They were already cut off from the European markets already, and were having issues that way. So as such, the U.S. government paid for, or they basically had a bond for this film to be made, paying for the production of this film.
Huh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Donald Roosevelt. That's not his name.
I guess
it was Roosevelt, right?
It was called a federal loan guarantee by them that it would cover their interest.
So the movie itself, though, did you find it educational? Did you find it entertaining? What was your actual takeaway of Saludos Amigos?
No.
Wow, that's a pretty succinct takeaway.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, obviously, we live in a different world now that we've gone through that time. I can definitely see where it would have played a part in culture as it was at the time.
Sure.
But since we've now lived through that, moved on, and we do have the internet and that kind of thing, I have friends that are from South America, so you know, that part of it wasn't too, but I can see, like, you know, when they showed the llamas on there for the first time, people might have been somewhat shocked by that, apparently.
Or the big cities that are in South America.
Yeah.
Because I can 100% see people thinking that South America is like a savage country full of jungles and drug lords, because that's kind of how America works. We kind of vilify people that we're fighting against, and it's very difficult for us to be like,
right,
oh no, they're real people and they all have real jobs and they have cities and a culture.
True.
So after being at war, quote unquote, with South America for so long, I think showing people, no, these are people with a culture that can be appreciated, and these are real life people with families and celebrations, and, you know, I think it really helps push acceptance and kind of cross cultural barriers kind of thing.
But this is the first time that we see Donald Duck in a feature length film.
Right.
And from that imagery that we get from it, we now see him also displayed in, like, the Mexico Pavilion at Epcot and in Small World. And
right.
That's where a lot of that Latin influence comes from, you know? So I think that's kind of fun to see all of that. And plus, it's fun to see Donald Duck.
Well, and Donald kind of transcends language. Everyone can relate to Donald's fury at randomness. Because he's not really he's not level-headed in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
He's kind of a hothead. So it's funny to watch the physical comedy of Donald, and you don't need a whole lot of dialogue. And honestly, not many people can even understand him in English. Right. So, you know.
And we get to see the cute little airplane that is a struggling little
mail delivery. I hated that one.
It was really sad. Like, apparently, we think that he's dead.
Well, like, so it's a mom and a dad plane, and the dad's too sick to work as a mail plane, so they send the son off, that's like this little tiny airplane, to pick up the mail, and he gets caught in a storm, and he looks like he dies, and he barely makes it home, and then in his bag is a single postcard.
Right.
And it's like, ugh, this is just terrible.
It really was, but he survived somehow. He did.
Good for him.
There's a Disney movie for you.
Yeah. Happy endings, whether you like it or not.
Also nominated for 3 Oscars. Best Musical Score, Best Original Song, and Best Sound Recording.
Do you think the government put their finger on the scale with that one?
You know what? We have got to get into these Disney Oscars, because this is going to be a topic.
Well, and you know what? Educational things are great. And as we can see with the next movie also, Disney has a very interesting and effective way of teaching.
Yeah.
So if you look at this as an educational film, I feel like it operates on a C level.
But Oscar-worthy film?
Not Oscar-worthy. But, you know, educationally, I think it was fine.
So can we jump into Victory Through Air Power when Disney became a propaganda machine?
I don't think many people even recognize this as a film, like, as a Disney film. Like, there are no Disney characters in it.
Right.
There is very little to no levity in the film. It's almost like a lecture.
Yep. That was not what this film was about. It was not about levity. It really, I think it was like one of the best teaching movies I've ever seen about World War II.
Yeah.
It gets you through it in 70 minutes, and it uses animation to really describe what the struggles were in World War II.
Right.
And how things were working and how things were evolving and how quickly we became from, you know, pilots taking pictures of each other in the air to quickly shooting at each other and quickly right. becoming bombers.
Right. You're
like, wow, how did that happen? That was a 10-second movie montage. Thanks, Disney.
Right. Like, well, I also find it very interesting to watch this movie because it came out in, what, 42? 43.
Yeah.
1943. So a year after we went into World War II, after we were provoked into World War II, let's say.
Yeah.
Then this movie comes out. So they are mid-war when this movie comes out.
Uh-huh.
And they're discussing, when is this war going to end? And how is it going to end?
Yeah.
And as people of the future, we know how the war ends.
Right.
So it's interesting to watch them discuss things in a, you know, a hopeful tense of how this war will end, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I found that very interesting.
Right. Yeah, because Disney and the guy who wrote the book that the movie was based on,
yeah.
neither one of them knew what the ending was going to be of that war. And so that was a bit...
many people could have predicted what the end of that war was going to be.
It's pretty intense. It's definitely intense that way.
But the basic concept was that Disney either heard this man speak or read a book that this man wrote, correct?
Yeah, the guy that speaks in there that couldn't move, that was having a hard time hitting his marks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He wrote a book right. in 1941, I think it was.
And Disney read this right. and believed that this guy's military tactics were worth having a national discussion about, right?
Yeah, and after the movie was made, it was said that it was that he then gave it to notable people, including Winston Churchill and Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Mm.
And after they saw the movie, they changed the tactics of which they were fighting the war.
And we don't know that that's factual. Like Roosevelt never came out and was like, because of Walt Disney's film, Victory right. Through Air Power.
Right. According to IMDb, they're saying yes.
Well.
And people of the time.
So the basic conceit of the movie is we need to advance our air programs military-wise because it's the only way we're going to win this war.
Right.
Is basically what the concept of the film was. Little did we know.
Uh-huh. Well, and they were showing that, like, how hard it was to get into Japan and how they were so fortified by the way that they were and how easy it was for them to fight us off.
Right.
And how none of our planes at the time could make it into that area to fight them and how our supply chains come from the United States and how difficult that would be. All of these things you would think I would know about.
Right.
You would think about that.
Well, but, and I feel like if this was shown to me in even a high school level history class, this explains things, obviously from a 1940s perspective, but it explains their plight at the moment.
Right.
And I found it much more relatable than listening to a lecture, per se.
Oh my gosh,
because,
so much
and
better.
I think this is what we were talking about with Disney's ability to visually represent things in such a way that it is instantly understandable.
Right.
You know,
yeah, absolutely. I've sat through many a lecture from people who've even fought in World War II
mm-hmm.
and talking about how complicated the war was. And, you know, it was complicated. Yeah,
right.
It was. But for them to be able to kind of like wrap it up in a quick 70 minute, it's almost like a nice introductory level of it.
Mm.
And then it gives you the opportunity to then dive deeper. And then you go, OK, now I kind of get the basics.
Right
now, I'm able to figure it out more. There was a guy who wrote one of the comments in IMDb, which I don't normally go to, but he said that in 1978 his teacher showed it in one of their classrooms as a 16 millimeter film, and when he was walking through Costco was able to find a copy of it and was so excited to like buy it and run home and show his wife.
Oh, history nerds,
right?
Come on.
Like, he was so excited. But you're like, but so yeah, if you're that kind of person that just needs a quick recap of what we fought for then,
well, and like I said, it's almost like a time capsule from the center of the war where we're like, we don't know how we're going to win this.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that we're taught, it kind of goes, well, yeah, things were bad, but we all know how it ends, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they're in the midst of it and have no idea how they're getting out of this war.
Right.
Or how long it's going to last. Like, they showed...
Or if there was any possibility we were going to win.
Right. Like, they showed, like, a graphic, you know, projecting how long it would take us to take over, to, you know, take Japan out, basically.
Right.
And they were flipping through years like crazy. They're like, it could be 1948 to 1950 before we get into Japan. It's like, oh my gosh.
And the I would say thousands, but tens of thousands of people that would have died.
Right.
On top of... Oh.
And that's the other thing that I found interesting about this, is that they didn't shy away from showing battle.
Yeah.
It was obviously Disney-fied, but... It was still like planes shooting at planes and going down, and tanks and ships sinking and submarines. And like, it was a very big departure from anything Disney had ever done up to that point. We keep on saying that, but really this is not like any other Disney movie out there, right, in my opinion.
Yeah. There was one bomb though, that was made after watching the movie, after the movie was released,
right,
a bomb was designed, and it was so similar to a bomb that was used that they nicknamed it the Disney bomb.
Yeah,
I don't remember the specifics of it, but
I do. It was the bomb that was made to go through the fortified. Yeah,
okay.
It was made to go through fortified protections.
Wow.
So, and they showed it in Victory Through Air Power. They're like, we can have bombs that have a second explosion that push through, you know, like,
that's how we came up with the bunker buster, was because of the...
Oh, I'm not a history major, so I could not tell you, but...
And I don't think anybody would ever be like, oh, I watched a Disney film and it seems so inspired.
Right. We're calling the next one Bambi Boom. Oh. You know, like, I found this to be far more educational than any high school history class that I sat through.
Right.
Personally.
Yeah.
And it's... possibly because I'm so much more visual,
uh-huh,
so that, you know, just words can do only so much for me. But the visual of this, albeit some of it is a little over the top sometimes, but overall, I feel like the visuals in this do a really good job of illustrating the concepts that they're trying to portray.
Well, even just the illustration that showed us how they can shoot through propellers without blowing off their... without shooting off the propeller.
Right, when they have the front-facing guns on an airplane with a propeller on it, how they've rigged it so that it would shoot through the propeller.
It's so funny in this world of drones that we now live in that was ever a conceived idea, that let's shoot a gun through the propeller of the plane.
Well, you have to see where you're shooting. If you're a pilot, you got to still fly the plane. Mm. Yeah, it's beyond just a discussion of World War II, though. It is a history of flight in general.
Right.
And how it was adopted into military use also, which, you know, is also educational. And that's about the only time that there is any levity in the movie, is towards the beginning where they're talking about the invention of flight and the Wright brothers.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
All the accomplishments in air flight,
right,
basically.
Yeah.
It's the only time it's really kind of funny.
So what I'm hearing is, instead of retheming the Soarin area of California Adventure into Smoky Mountain, whatever it is now, they should have rethemed it to Victory Through Air Power. No.
It's a little like, much like this, the idea of doing this podcast for Thanksgiving, it's a little out of place, I think. I mean, it would match with the time period, because honestly, the main street in California Adventure is like 1940s style.
Right. Well, that's because when they switched that over, when they switched Soarin' recently over, like, I liked that it had that airspace vibe about it.
Right.
It really, I thought it was really cool that it felt like an airfield.
Yeah.
And now they've gone with that more Smoky Mountain vibe about it. But it's also interesting, though, that this was the first movie that was released through United Artists. Before that, they'd been using RKO radio pictures,
right,
to release it, and they basically refused and said, no, they're not going to release it. So they had to use the other company, United Pictures, that they're the United Artists that they used for their shorts to release it.
Well, because this was straight up a passion project for Disney.
Yeah, he completely self-funded it.
Which is crazy. Like, it's a great thing that he was so passionate about it.
Right.
There are a lot of... unfortunate rumors about Disney being anti-Semitic and racist and things like that. And I don't want to comment on those, especially right now, but the idea that he was so passionate about a way to stop this world war that he financed an entire film to try to move the war effort towards victory quickly, you know. And it wasn't cheap. It was like $1.2 million or something.
Yeah, it took
like
him till 1995 to pay off the $1.2 million deficit.
Ooh. So, I mean, say what you will about Disney, but he was very thoroughly American also. And I feel like this was a very selfless American type thing to do, to say, you know what? I know no one's going to fund this, but I'm going to make the effort anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's a good showmanship of American ingenuity and pride to try to push that together.
We were not anticipating liking either one of these films
at
all. And both of them were passable, but this one was really good. Like it was definitely worth watching for 70 minutes, you know?
Yeah. We still have two more to watch. So
we do.
We have.
That's why we had to double up on these folks.
Right.
Just because
upcoming, we have Make Mine Music and The Three Caballeros. But honestly, Saludos Amigos was okay. It was worth a watch once. But Victory Through Air Power, for anyone that has any interest in any kind of history, it is an interesting, like I said, an interesting look into the 1940s mind frame of the U.S. military.
Right.
Which, you know, is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, as someone who didn't do well in history in high school.
Well, if Disney was teaching it, we probably would have.
Right. I would have aced that Disney history class.
It's true.
So it's like I always say. Save world wars for the other people. Keep it out of the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Right.
Let's try to be civil, folks. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast. You gotta be